Anna Story, Chapter 5, Sold to the Cigar Maker. Our story so far. Anna has bought the thread for her mother and is telling Tommy and Jake about her life while they walk her to the feed store where her father works. Anna, Tommy, and Jake had just crossed the railroad tracks next to the feed store when she suddenly stopped. "I have to introduce you to my father," she said. "What can I tell him? I don't want to say that you are my brother. Not yet." "No," Jake agreed. "You could say we go to school together." Anna shook her head. "I don't want to lie. I go to St. Mary's, and it's not a very big school. He would already know you." "Are we Catholic?" Jake asked, looking at Tommy. "Oh, our mother will be very happy." "Our mother would be very happy, too." Anna smiled at him. "Did we used to go to church?" Jake asked. "I don't remember that." "I barely remember," Anna said. "But Mama had this." She reached under her collar and pulled out a thin chain with a gold cross on it. "She gave it to me when she was sick, before she died." Jake leaned forward to look closer at the cross, and his eyes filled with tears. "That was Mama's. I remember," he said. "They could tell from the design that I was Catholic," Anna explained. "The Children's Aid Society tries to make sure that you are adopted by people of the same religion, so my new family is Catholic. But for you, it was just luck, yes?" She thought some more. "But we can't say we go to school together." Tommy snapped his fingers. "We'll tell the truth. Some men were fighting in the street, and we offered to walk you to the feed store." "It's true," Anna laughed. "And it will make my father happy. He likes to think I am more scared of things than I really am." They walked up the porch steps and passed the big grain sacks full of oats and corn into the feed store. The man at the front counter greeted Anna cheerfully. "Your father's out back, helping to load a wagon," he said. "Our last name is McMahon," Tommy told her as they walked down the aisle past the smaller sacks of feed and the shelves of tools. "Oh, yes, I should know that," she said. "Mine is Larocque." Mark Larocque was a short, strong-built man with a large walrus mustache and gray starting to show in his hair. As Anna introduced the boys, he shook their hands and thanked them for walking her to the store. "I'll be done in a little while," he said. "Do you have studying to do?" "I thought we would sit by the trees and talk." "Their father works at the lumber yard just there," she said, nodding down the tracks to McPhee and McGinty's. "All right, but be sure you have time for your chores tonight," he said, and went back to loading sacks of corn onto the wagon at the loading dock. They walked over to a patch of grass behind the feed store, next to the rail yard, and sat down under a small group of cottonwood trees. "What happened after Mama died?" Jake asked. "Just what you remembered," she replied. "Papa took us to a tenement building over on 38th Street, and the woman gave him money for me, and he left me there with her," Anna said. "Could you understand her?" Jake asked. "No," Anna said. "She spoke only Czech. There was a girl there who spoke a little bit of English, but I'd only been at school for a year, so I didn't know much English either, and she lived on another floor in the building, so during the day she could help me a little, but the rest of the time I would just point at things. I learned a little Czech, but not to have a conversation, you know, just the names of things. But it didn't matter. We didn't have time to talk. Every day was the same, even Sunday. We'd have a piece of bread and some coffee in the morning, and when it was light enough to see, we'd start working, and we'd work long after it was dark. Then we'd have another piece of bread and some cabbage soup or something, and we'd move the benches back and spread blankets on the floor to sleep until it was time to start working again. "Was she mean? Did she hit you?" Tommy asked. Anna thought for a moment. "It wasn't nice there," she said at last. "If you didn't do what you were supposed to do, if you were too slow, yes, she would yell at you and pull your hair or pinch you or give you a hard smack. But no matter what you did, she always wanted you to do it faster and to do a better job. So we just tried to be very quiet and do our work and hope she wouldn't look at us. I thought they had a law against making cigars in tenement houses," Tommy said. Anna shrugged. "They have lots of laws. They say you can't make cigars in the tenements. Then they change their minds and say you can. And they say kids are supposed to be in school. So when the inspectors come, they make us go hide. When they go away, we have to work faster because we wasted all that time hiding." Jake nodded agreement. "Nobody cares about poor kids, Tommy," he said. But Anna shook her head. "No, there are some people who care," she said. "But it took me a long time to find them." This podcast has been a reading of Anna's story, written by Mike Peterson, read by Mary Miller. This production was sponsored by the New York News Publishers Association Newspaper and Education Program and funded by the New York Newspapers Foundation and the New York State United Teachers, 2010.